Welcome to the Celebration Church podcast. We believe God wants to speak into your life through this message. If you're interested in knowing more about Celebration Church, you can visit our website at celebrationedmonton.com and find us on Instagram and Facebook at CelebrationEDM. Thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoy this message.
My name is Joel, and last week we started this series called The Pandemic of Busy. And this series, where this series came from was COVID hit. March 15th, everybody was locked up, and nothing was going on in the world. You know, we couldn't go out to eat. There were so many things that we had access to that we didn't have access to anymore. Yet still, I personally felt so busy. I felt busier than before. I felt like there was so much more going on in my life in lockdown than there was in normal life. And I don't know about you, but for that, I just felt like that is not something God wanted for my life. And I had to reflect and look at my day-to-day life and ask myself, why do I feel so busy? I want to read from you from John chapter 7 this morning as we begin. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit. Those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So Jesus says, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. When I was a kid, I grew up in church. When I was a kid in what we would call kids' church now, it was called Sunday school back then. And it was in the basement of our church where like the spiders and the, you know, whatever, centipedes were hanging out. It was in this this gross basement of our church. And we sang this song, it went, you might know this one. I got a river of life flowing out of me. Do you know it? Yeah. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. Opens prison. If you know it, sing it with me. Sets the captives free. I got a river of life flowing out of me. And then the teacher would go, "Goosh, goosh, goosh, goosh." And then we would go, "It's in my soul." And it'd be like, "Goosh, goosh, goosh, goosh. And make me whole." Some of the teachers would say "goosh," some of the teachers would say "swoosh," and we would sing along with them, and we wouldn't know which one it was going to be. So it was like the awkward lyric thing in church where you don't know the words, and you're like, "Is it goosh or swoosh this week?" And we would sing this song, and I remember thinking as a kid, "What the hang does this mean?" So this is what Jesus is talking about: living water will flow out of you. Jesus is saying that if someone believes in him, they will have a continual source of satisfaction which will provide us life. Yeah. But when I read this verse, sometimes a verse like this makes me kind of sad. Like it's supposed to be this beautiful, inspirational thing that, oh, God's going to give me satisfaction. It's going to flow out of me, this river of living water. But do I really have living waters flowing out of me? The only water I feel flowing out of me sometimes is Aquafina. It's disgusting and it tastes like a battery. Like it doesn't feel like living water. Is it really possible that living waters would flow from me? Because sometimes it feels more like a muddy river. And I don't know if that's felt like your life, maybe recently or in the past. Maybe you're watching online today and you can relate to me. Give yourself some grace. Give yourself some grace. The world's been a little bit different than we're used to, and we're learning some new stuff. But Jesus said we would have a continual source of satisfaction. Why don't we always feel like that? Why don't, once we've accepted him, now that we know him, we come to church, why don't we always feel like there's a continual source of satisfaction for us? See, what you give your attention to is the person you'll become. So, what are you giving your attention to? Because what you give your attention to is the person you'll become. See, you can change how you feel by changing how you focus. And if we're going to calm the sea of busy in our lives, we have to ask ourselves, what gets my full attention today? Like, what is it that I'm going to choose to focus my heart, my soul, and my mind on today? Is it going to be the things that cause me stress? Or the things that cause me anxiety? Or the person that just keeps driving me crazy? See, what you give your attention to will either be intentional or impulsive. And you get to decide. Is it going to be intentional where I'm going to put my focus? Or is it going to be impulsive to somebody in my life? Like, you know, after working this long, hard week, you come home, you walk outside, it's a beautiful day, you're about to mow the lawn, and the neighbor makes some dumb comment about how you left it for too long. And it gets in your head. You know what I mean? Maybe I'm speaking from personal experience too much. I don't know. But what happens is people get in our heads, don't they? And we react. We have this knee-jerk response, and we give them our attention. In Matthew 6, Jesus says this: give your entire attention to what God's doing right now. Don't get worked up about what may or may not happen tomorrow. God will help you deal with whatever hard things come up when the time comes. Today, I want to ask you, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? It's so easy to give our attention away. And it's so easy to give our attention to the urgent instead of the important. Like the old saying goes, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, why do we allow that? Why can't we just let that wheel squeak? And here's the thing. What we talk way too much about the benefits of technology without talking about the cons of technology. We're way too excited about all the things that technology can do for us, but what about when this thing dings and it's not good? The cons of it. See, I think we're way too addicted to know what's important in our lives. I'm learning about this as I sort of dove in and started getting into this series, this saying called digital addiction. And what digital addiction is it's being on your phone, even though you know you have more important, more pressing stuff to do, you're distracted by what's going on your phone. It's not being able to put this thing down, even though your thumbs are so sore. You know what I'm talking about? It's compulsively checking our phone, thinking that it goes off even though it didn't. You know what I'm talking about. You pull it out thinking something happened and nothing happened. See, social media is designed to connect us to what's happening globally and to what's happening with our friends in high school and our family that we never get to see anymore. But what happens when we're connecting so often is we're actually disconnecting to what's happening 20 feet in front of us. And the average American, and I know we're not American, but we're just going to use these studies because no one seems to want to study us. The average American, from the studies I read, says that teens spend an average of 9 hours a day on social media. If you're watching online, there's teenagers over here. That's why I'm going over here. 9 hours a day. Are you guys in the talking and the whatever you do on the... on the TikTok, I don't know what to, I still can't figure that thing out. 9 hours a day on social media. And millennials spend 6 hours and 42 minutes a day on social media. So if you're wondering why your employees aren't getting anything done, the average employee, the average full-time 40-hour-a-week employee spends 13 hours a week on social media while you pay them for it. The average American adult, let's pick on you guys. I guess millennials are adults too. It just doesn't feel like it always. But the average American adult spends 2,737.5 hours on TV a year. That's an average of 7.5 hours a day. Let's pick on the males for a moment. The average male will spend 10,000 hours playing video games by the age of 21. That is the amount of time it would take you to earn a master's degree. You spend that time playing, I'm not sure what you play, Call of Duty or something with the warfare and I'm not sure what it's called. But get this, we touch our phone an average of 2,617 times a day. Wow. That's how much we just touch it. That's how many times we touch it a day, 2,617 times. And I didn't believe this research. I started looking into it for myself. And I looked in my settings. I looked in the screen time. It said that I had an average of 200 pickups a day. 200 times when I would open my phone. And my peak day, as I write these messages about, you know, slowing down and getting away from our phones a little bit, as my peak day in the middle of writing these messages was 9 hours and 22 minutes on my phone. No wonder we're so busy. Our attention is on whatever is on our phone and we don't even want it to be. I would just challenge you with this. Try taking one day off of social media and see what it does for you. Delete it right before you go to bed and then don't download it again until the day after it's all done, until you've fallen asleep again and the day after it's all done. It is so refreshing. It will feel like you're showering in Gatorade. Like, it is so refreshing. Just try it. Try it. We are addicted, and we hate how addicted we are. I just want to say a disclaimer before I go into some more of this message as I hate on our phones. All of this content, I felt like God put on my heart, and most of this was put together before anything happened with protests and George Floyd and all the stuff that we're seeing happen in the world. There is crazy important stuff happening on social media for once. Like, there's actually something more than memes. And so don't, like, hear me on this. I'm not saying to turn a blind eye to that. I'm not saying to be ignorant to that. What I am saying is, it doesn't mean you have to feed your addiction, right? It doesn't mean you just have to get into being addicted to it because there's important stuff happening on it right now. I'm saying be a part of that. Don't be ignorant. Be a part of what we're facing as humanity together. Don't be ignorant about it. But don't be addicted to it. Do you find yourself ever in this weird abyss where you're looking at your phone and your TV at the same time and you don't know what's happening on either? Yeah. Or do you find yourself feeling an obligation to constantly respond to people? Like, who decided leaving people on red was a bad thing? I want to know who decided that for me, because for some reason I feel so guilty about it. But man, once you start doing it, it's very freeing. No one's going to text me back this week. One of my favorite people in the world, someone I value so much, somebody I just love their friendship, and I just really value them in my life. They usually take, from a new text point of view, they usually take somewhere between 4 and 7 days to respond to me. And he's one of my favorite people in the world. And when I'm with him, it's like he doesn't even own a phone at all. It's almost like he doesn't even know that they exist. He's that present with me. That's why I love him so much. But most people have better etiquette on their phone than in real life. So are you gonna parent your phone? Like, are you gonna start parenting your phone? Like, hey, little guy, time to go to bed. I'm going to see you tomorrow. Even though I'm not going to bed, you're going to bed. I'm going to spend some time without you. Man, it's freeing when you do that. Or just saying, hey, I'm going to try leaving the house. This crazy idea, leaving the house without your phone. It is the most freeing thing ever. I feel like a little child just dancing around when I do it. Man, some of our phones just need a timeout. Like, we just need a timeout for them. It's one of the most important things we can learn is parenting our phone. And you're sitting here going, now, are you going to read the Bible at all during this message, or are you just going to tell me how bad my phone is? Here's the thing. Jesus was very present. Jesus was so present in the moment. I read in Mark chapter 5. Jesus is, he's just doing the Jesus thing. Just a regular day in the life of Jesus. He's casting demons out of people. You know, just he's just doing his thing. And this guy comes up to him and he says, my daughter is sick and I need you to come. And he's so full of faith. He just comes to him and says, if you would just lay your hand on her, I know she would be healed. And Jesus is like, you're right. That will take place. Let's go and let's go see her. And so they're on the way to go and see his daughter. And this was before social distancing. So they're walking through a crowd, okay? There's a bunch of people crowded around them and there was no COVID. They were all together. It was all good. And they're going to go and heal this guy's daughter. And this woman reaches out and she, so full of faith, just knows if she could just touch his garment, she'd be healed. She's been bleeding for, I think it was 12 years she's been bleeding for. She reaches out and just touches his garment and she's healed in that moment. And Jesus, so present, He could just be like, man, I'm in a rush. I'm in a hurry. I'm busy. I got daughters to heal. I know I just healed somebody, but their healing has happened. But he's so present in this moment that while he's on the way with this man to go heal his daughter, he's so present that he turns around and he says, who touched me? Man, Jesus doesn't want to let that moment pass by where he changed that person's life. And disciples are like, what are you talking about? It's a massive crowd. He goes, who touched me? I know I just healed somebody. And what we see in that moment is he's present to that woman. He speaks to her. He acknowledges what just happened. He wasn't all about getting on his way. Now, can you imagine how annoyed this dad is? He's like, Jesus, let's go. She's going to die. I need you. But Jesus just takes a moment to be present with that woman. And then we find out he gets to the house and she's dead. And Jesus like rolls in. He's like, don't worry, guys. She ain't dead. And they're like, okay, how is this guy the Lord? He doesn't even know biology. He says, she's sleeping. Sure enough, he heals her. He's like, get her something to eat because that's what you need when you just got raised from the dead. But he's so present to both moments. He's so present. He stops and he gives that woman his attention. And what I see as I read through the life of Jesus, he's never frustrated or annoyed. How did he manage this? It was a lifestyle thing for Jesus. See, your life is the byproduct of your lifestyle. Your life is the byproduct of your lifestyle. If you want to experience the life of Jesus, you have to adapt the lifestyle of Jesus. Meaning, we got to travel through life beside him. And not just something that we pull out when we need to feel better. Not just something that we pull out of scripture when we want to back up our political views. Not just someone we pull out when it makes us look better. But we have to walk beside Jesus in our lives. Travel through life beside him. See, I want a constant observation of how Jesus would do things. Yeah. A constant observation. Look what Paul said. He says, look carefully at how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Paul's basically saying you can easily slip into stuff that God doesn't want for your life. Then if my life has no system for who or what gets my attention, what happens? I take my most valuable resource, my time, my attention, and I just give it away freely. Like my grandma gives away Werther's Originals. Anybody got a good grandma that gives them Werther's? I love. Good. Okay. It's so easy to slip into this or that and give attention to whatever. And as life goes on, we're like, hey, I've been going to church. I've been reading my Bible. I've been praying. I've even been tithing. I'm still not getting the desired results that I want for my life. And so often I hear people use this phrase and it bothers me, but I know that I've felt it too. They say, I just feel burnt out. I just feel burnt out. And burnout has become something that we don't just visit and come back from. Burnout has now become people's home, where people live, where they set up a tent and they roast marshmallows. And when you're burned out, it's easy to point the finger at other people in your life when we need to just look at the mirror and reflect. What if we allowed our attention to be on? Yeah. See, because, oh man, everybody wants your time, your attention, and your money. Everybody wants your money. Like you go on Instagram, you go on Facebook, you try and watch a 10-minute video on YouTube, you're gonna get 3 ads. Yeah. And they're going to target you. There's a whole system for this and how they're going to get your money out of you. Everybody wants your attention. And so many people have no system, and that's why they're annoyed by their results. They don't organize where their attention goes. See, every system is perfectly designed to get the results it gets. So what are your results? Like many, are your results anxiety at a simmer? Or just a mild depression, high levels of stress, chronic emotional burnout, or little to no sense of the presence of God? Man, I've gone through times like that where it's just like, where is the presence of God? And oftentimes we blame God for that. We're not being able to focus on the things that make our life so great. The odds are you've created a system, intentionally or not, that is not working. And for many people, you have to imagine that this is how people are living their lives. They're walking around. Like, imagine someone walking around with a newspaper in front of their face at all times. That's how so many people are living right now. Because there's no boundaries on it. And so we're just constantly reading what's happening in the world. It's like having a newspaper in front of our eyes. It's like, ain't nothing on the news but the blues. And even if the newspaper section in front of your eyes is the comics section, which is just a bunch of memes, like that's how people are living their life. We get so comfortable with not being present. And we don't realize what's happening. And we want the Jesus life without the Jesus lifestyle. Wow. We can't just adopt the ethics or the theology of Jesus. We have to take his lifestyle and apply that. He knew why he was on earth, and he knew what he could do. And he left space for God, and he left so much love for people. So we have to ask ourselves, how would Jesus live if he were me? See, how you view things is how you're going to do things. Yeah. And so you have to look at your specific things that you go through in life and ask yourself, how would Jesus do your job? How would Jesus parent your kids? How would Jesus deal with your in-laws? Jesus was smart and he didn't get married. kidding. He didn't get married, but anyways. So how are you spending your life? And have you made peace with who you are? Like, have you made peace with how God made you to be? I think a lot of people's attention goes to constantly trying to figure out who we are. And it happens because we're looking for answers for who we are. We're looking for identity in who we are in things other than God. We're looking for that in the workplace. We're looking for that in relationships. We're even looking for that in the next hobby. We're looking for who we are, and we have to find that in God first before we find out how we fit into the world, not the other way around. So make peace with who you are and make peace with who you're not. And I'm not talking about like a cop-out, lazy way. Like, oh yeah, I leave my house a mess. That's just how God made me to be. You know? Oh, I'm 2 hours late for work. God made me a sleep-inner. Take it. You will be a fired inner person. But I'm talking about not in a lazy way, but in a confident, peaceful way. Figuring out how God made you. Who he made you to be, and then figuring out where you fit in the world. And just deciding that, hey, this isn't for me, that's not for me. I'm trying to figure out how much time I have left, and I got it. Okay, we have time for this verse. Okay, John 15 says, Jesus said this, I'm the real vine and my father is the farmer. He cuts off every branch that doesn't bear grapes. And every branch that is grape bearing, he prunes back so it will bear even more. He takes off stuff that shouldn't be there so that more grapes will come. You're already pruned by the message I've spoken. Live in me. Make your home in me. I love that. Make your home in me, just as I do in you. In the same way that a branch can't bear any grapes by itself, but not only being joined to the vine, You can't bear fruit unless you join with me. I am the vine, you're the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate, and organic harvest is sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown into the bonfire. But if you make yourselves at home with me, and my words are at home in you, you can be sure that whatever you ask will be listened and acted upon. This is how my Father shows who he is. When you produce grapes, when you mature as my disciples. See, just because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, it doesn't mean you should try and do all things.
Yeah, that's really good.
Just because you can, it doesn't mean you should try and do all things and live all kinds of different callings and you know, just do whatever. He desires fruit. He says 8 times in this chapter, he desires fruit. So you have to find the things in your life that bring fruit. Fruitfulness is the result of the son's life being reproduced in a disciple. So fruitfulness is, to say it simpler, is Jesus pouring out of me, that river of life pouring out of me. And we need limitations on our lives. We need to ask ourselves what limitations, or let me say it this way. We need to learn how to say no. And no is powerful. No is a complete sentence. And we got to free people to say no to us so we can say no to them. Relationships, they cost an enormous amount of time. And they add limitations to our lives. And we sort of have to figure out, okay, where do I fit? My limitations help me focus my attentions. And what about the limitations that we can't control? Like, our main limitation is time. And so our solution should be more time, but that's not how it works. No one has more than 24 hours in a day. See, if I had more time, I would just fill it with more waste. More memes, more shows. But imagine if I would think like this. Every day is a chance. Every day is an opportunity to get better. Every hour is an opportunity. Sometimes, you know, a couple things go wrong and it's just like, okay, this day is gone. I'm just gonna do whatever. That's how I am on a diet, you know? I start out every day on a diet. It's breakfast that throws me off and then I just let the rest of the day go. But imagine if we thought of every day as a chance. Man, every day is a chance to get our attention more focused on him, more focused on what he's doing. Every hour is an opportunity. We need rhythms and routines and to learn the specific limits to God's call on our life. And hey, maybe for you, your attention has been on somebody else's calling. And so for us, like, that limits our joy. Comparison, for me, anytime I go golfing with anyone, I'm always the worst. And so comparison limits my joy of that sport. But comparison limits our joy. And John 21, Peter does this. One of the closest people to Jesus, one of the disciples. Jesus says this, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted, but now you're old. And you'll stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." So Jesus said this because he's telling Peter the kind of death that Peter was going to have. It was a death that was going to glorify God, but not a fun one to go through. And then Jesus said this to Peter. He says, "Follow me." And so Jesus is explaining that, hey, what you're about to do in your death, like, it's you're not going to enjoy it. But you're going to glorify God with it. Just follow me. Just trust me in it. And Peter turns to Jesus and he sees the disciple who Jesus loved was following them. So they're talking about John here. And when Peter saw him, he said, "So you're telling me I'm going to die this brutal death. What about John though? what about John?" And Jesus says, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what's that to you? You got to follow me." Don't compare his calling with yours.
Yeah, that's so
comparison
true.
Eats away at your joy. Yeah. So has your attention been on someone else's calling? Live deliberately. And so as I sort of start to close here, the answer, what's the answer to all this? How do we get our attention focused on him? Well, the answer to all of this is easy. Create a system to help you follow Jesus. It can't be all about feeling. If you're gonna follow Jesus, it can't just be what do I feel like doing today? How do I feel like following him today? You know, do I have time to create this beautiful devotional space with my candles and my worship music and my journal? No, you have to have a system. He is the best thing you can put your attention on. I'm better at everything when my attention is on him. So I'm gonna give you a real simple system. Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. Do what he would if he were you. In Mark chapter 13, the disciples are asking Jesus, hey, how should we live? What do we do in the last days? And Jesus just simply says this to him. Just stay awake. Just he doesn't get too caught up. He just says, just don't be sleeping. Don't be sleeping on your calling. Don't be sleeping on this beautiful life that I've given you here on earth. Just would you stay awake? And we worry about what we worship. And so often we're worshiping, you know, how our house is set up, or worshiping what our social status looks like, or what we look like. And we get so caught up in all these things. But Jesus just say, hey, would you follow my way? Follow his way, copy his every move. And as we talked about last week, we got into a little bit. He said that my yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. When you yoke yourself to me, when you tie yourself to me, it's easy. My yoke is. The most restful gift Jesus can give the tired is a new way to carry life. And for so many of us, what I've been talking about with getting on our phone or getting into, you know, TV so much is we're looking for an escape. Maybe your job's like this for you. It's an escape from what bothers you about your life. Maybe your phone's like this. Maybe there's a show that you go to. So often we're looking for that, for just an escape, to forget all the things that are happening in my life that have been weighing me down. But Jesus doesn't offer escape. He offers you equipment. He says, yoke yourself to me. You don't have to escape this life that you're living. Would you just use this equipment, tie yourself to me, and we will go through this thing together. He says, follow me. Yoke yourself to me. I want to give you a fresh way to bear responsibilities. And an easy life is a myth. But he gives us an easy yoke. I want to give you an opportunity today just to ask God. We're going to pray in a moment, but just to ask God, just to have his presence known in your world this week, that you would just pay attention to the presence of God. Pay attention to opportunities to yoke yourself to Jesus. And just that we would stop trying to get into escapes and realize that, hey, there's a river of life to flow out of us, but we gotta come to Jesus for that. There is a satisfaction that we get out of life, but it's not gonna be in what you've been looking for. It's not gonna be in that next big purchase. It's not gonna be in that next big move up at work. It's gonna be with Jesus. So I just want to pray for you that you just have your eyes open and your attention fixed on him. But I want to also give people an opportunity to take step number one of creating that system and just to be with Jesus. To ask him to come into your heart. Just to be with Jesus. And maybe you've prayed a prayer to ask him to come into your heart and forgive you of all the wrong you've done. But you kind of got away from that. Or maybe you've never prayed a prayer like that, but today you want to make the decision to decide you're going to live with him in your heart. I just want to pray that living waters would just flow from all of us. And Jesus just, hey, he wants to give you just the best life here on earth. But our attention must be fixed on him. I just want to ask that we'd all bow our heads and just close our eyes right now for a moment. God, I ask that we would have our eyes open and our ears open to what you want to say to us. God, we know that you didn't come so that we would be frustrated for our years on earth. You didn't come that we'd be full of anxiety or depression. Those things aren't from you. Thank you that you give us this amazing life. And when we go through it with you, God, you're the one that makes it easier. You're the one that helps us. The burden that you give us is light. I just pray that this week we would be open to just deciding to fix our attention on you, deciding to put things aside and just say, have your way in us. We want to go to work like you want us to go to work. We want to model our lives after you. God, we want the Jesus lifestyle that your son just showed us how to live. Thank you for that model, God. Hey, if you want to pray a prayer with me to ask Jesus into your heart, super simple. Romans 10:9 says, just believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you'll be saved. You don't have to put your hand up. I just ask you under your breath, would you repeat this after me? If you're watching online, just repeat after me on your own, wherever you are. You can say this wherever you are. You're watching online. I know God's doing something in your heart. Maybe you prayed a prayer like this before. Maybe you haven't. Just repeat after me. Jesus, I thank you that you sent your, that you came and you died for me. I thank you that you've forgiven me of my sins, that this is not a book of rules to follow. It's a relationship to step into. I ask you to come into my heart. From now on, I know that you are my Lord and you're my Savior, and I live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, would you put your hands together for what God's done?
Thanks for listening with us today. If you enjoyed it, check out more messages like this at celebrationedmonton.com or on the Celebration Church mobile app. If you'd like to partner with us financially, you can give on our website at celebrationedmonton.com. Come back next week to hear another great message.